Hey, the last days, the last of the last days, spiritual warfare and all the implications on and in the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Glad to be back with you today. Let me tell you why, because we were gone over the weekend at a conference in St. Louis. Now, this conference was really something. It really was. We had... Well, let me tell you about that in a few moments. We got a series this week. It's up on the site, shatterthedarkness.net. Now, from April the 12th to the 16th, the last of the last days, battle on and in the church. Now, this is very important because if there is one major target on the face of the earth, listen, for over 2,000 years... If the dark side has ever wanted to attack, annihilate, destroy, change, corrupt, well, it is the church. I've been telling you in prophetic revelation that the political realm and the military realm are the primary targets of the manifested satanic scheme, the agenda, no question about it. Globalism, super soldier military system, no question about it. Now, in the midst of all of that, there is only one agency, if you want to call it that, that Jesus said he would live in and live through to reach the rest of the world, the ecclesia. Jesus said these words, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail, withstand." Now, you can look at that verse again and again and again, the words of Jesus. Israel is of divine origin for the purposes of God, not because of anything they've done. The church is of divine origin, not because of anything we have done, but again, because of the grace of God. Worldwide, anyone, any place that receives Christ as Savior and Lord is clearly, by the Spirit of God, baptized into the body of Christ. Now, when that occurs, we become a part of the body of Christ on the face of the earth that is, well, let me tell you something, that has become the tool in the hand of God in the redemption of mankind. It is also the primary target of the dark side. And we will engage this discussion and listen, take a look into this. Well, for the next, tonight and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Friday night. Again, the title topic for the week, Last Days of Last Days, Battle, you know, on and in the church. Monday night, the satanic agenda to infiltrate the church. Does anyone look for impending danger? Tuesday night at 7 p.m., the indestructible body of Christ, the target of the full force of hell itself. Wednesday night, the counterfeit looks like the real. Can you tell the difference? Tribal voodoo in the sanctuary. And then Friday night, the possibility. A massive, powerful church in these last days. The best defense is an awesome offense. Take a look, shatterthedarkness.net, the new series, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. We are still putting up and promoting the book and the course that is free still this month, Confronting the Powers, along with hundreds of other MP3s, other teachings, other insights. Want to tell you about the conference in Michigan a few weeks ago. It was really awesome. We have put up the notes for that, and I think we have now 7 or 8 hours of MP3s. We're going to add to it this week. We ran out of time last week in preparing for St. Louis. So I'm going to say to all of you who are listening that we're at the St. Louis conference, I want to say to Dr. Gregory Reed, to Dr. Mary Jo Schneller, to Tony Cal, to L.A. Marzulli, and listen, we had the greatest time and incredibly important time. Glad to meet so many of you from the United States, Canada, other places that had come down to the seminar and conference, and it is over. We immediately left to drive home. We got home about 5 in the morning Sunday, And we are back at it today, catching up. Let me tell you something. It's going to be very hard for me. Let me look real quick here, because I'm looking at the emails right now, and we caught up with about 20 yesterday. Going to catch up with about 20 to 30 today, but we are only 784 behind. So please understand, it's not because we don't care. It is only because of the physical factor of time. Not being able to get to all, but there's some very important ones, and I know that there are some phone calls and callbacks and so forth. So we are back here and at it. We're going to be back here and at it for about 2 weeks. Then we will be on our way down to Nashville, Tennessee. Let me tell you about that in just a moment. St. Louis Conference, we are putting up, we already put up the notes that I did, my part anyway. And I have never done a conference or probably a session on. The first session was called X-Men and Psi Powers. The second session, Dark Technology. Now, the notes are up, and sometime this week, I will try to, because I did not record them there, but I will try to record, redo those, and give those to you with MP3. So I'm going to leave that up there. The St. Louis Conference notes are already up. I will redo the sessions, lectures, and put those up sometime at the end of the week. And want to say that we were on with L.A. Marzulli last week, and I'm sure that on his site it's up there. We got a link to his site. Going to be on with Dr. Stan Monteith tomorrow night, April 13th. And that's going to be great. We love Dr. Stan. Daniel Ott has just called, so we're going to be on the edge and I'll return a call to him probably tonight or tomorrow. I'll put on the Shatter site when that's going to occur. So take a look, if you would, at the shatterthedarkness.net site, and that's where you're going to get the information, the things that are coming up, coming out. And let me tell you what we also just did. We have just put up, just minutes ago, session number 5 in one of the series that I think is the most important series I have ever done. Let me tell you why. A lot of the series we do deals with the exposure and all the things that are necessary to know before we can take action. Now, the series that I'm doing right now is called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, How to Detect and Confront Luciferic Ritual Warfare and Targeted Satanic Infiltration. Now, the series already begun. We're into the second month. I've got now, including an introduction, we have 6 sessions up. We just put part 5. Now, it's kind of providential. At the conference in St. Louis, one of the presenters, ex-law enforcement, but he wrote a book called A Cop's Guide to Investigating Occult and Satanic Crimes. I recommend that book. As I do Programmed to Kill by Tom McGowan, The Satan Hunter by Tom Wedge, Lucifer's Lodge by William Kennedy, and The Franklin Cover-Up. We have just done part 5, and here's the title, Supernatural Help for Law Enforcement's Approach to Satanic Crimes. Now, it went almost 70 minutes, and I was immediately convicted that it wasn't enough material. So by tomorrow, we're going to finish out part 5, part B. There's a second part to part 5. Now, that's where we're going to get into the specifics of prayer, the Spirit of God's guidance in literally investigations of SRA, MPD, satanic and ritual sacrifice. So I will tell you that I believe that it's only the cutting edge hand of God that can cut into the secret power of lawlessness and blast in what we've called in the past a supernatural hole into the substructure of radical evil. So I'm going to do part 5 sometime tomorrow. That'll be up. That's part B. So we have part 5, A and B. A is up right now. B will be up tomorrow. And what I'm going to do, because the notes are getting so long, what I'm going to do is add a PDF file of all the notes together. And I am putting up specific notes for all these sessions, but we will because it will get so vast in there with the notes, I think that I'll just put it all up in a PDF file when we're done. Anyway, welcome again for those who are brand new. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the net, and glad to be with you from all across the nation and wherever else in the world. For those that are going to download the archives later, again, want to say welcome to you. You've been prayed for today, yes, and we have a lot of believers that listen. Many of you that have written saying you're praying, I feel your prayers. I appreciate your great intercession. And I pray before God and urge you that we seek many, many individuals to become great, fierce, powerful prayer warriors in this day and hour. We need to learn in the body of Christ that prayer is central in the body. Jesus said that, zeal consumed him for the house of, a house of prayer, the urgency of the Spirit of God. So you're going to hear me say this throughout these sessions this week, that it may be that the reason for the lack, the reason for the vast lack the sense of suppression and silence in the body of Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, I think it relates directly to the rise of massive satanic rituals. I've already given the numbers and statistics of millions and millions over the last 50 years. One ritually abused individual calculate at least 2,000 rituals in 20 years of their life. Now, when you add lowest possible stat, 2.5 million, more like 5 million cases, some believe 10 million, then times it, just simply multiply it. Now you're into millions and millions of rituals. The undergrounders that are listening right now, they know this. Subpersonalities that are still loyal to coven and to projects that understand the twilight language and the raising of demons. Let me just say again quickly, they raise them for themselves, raise up the demons, that is, summon them. They summon the demons to place into the new, chosen ones that they're building. They raise and summon the demonic powers to send against pastors and churches, targeting military and politics and other areas. And then fourthly, they raise and summon the demons to send them into the air, the atmosphere. So if your city feels satanically oppressed, dark, if you can feel it in the air, I'm going to tell you right now it's related to probably the constant summoning and releasing of dark powers. Remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the eros, the immediate dense atmosphere, including your city, so that the powers would be there to constantly bring an aid to ground level development and suppression. As I said in the beginning, the primary target of the satanic agenda has to be the body of Christ, is the body of Christ. There is an insatiable, eternal hatred as God indwells the real body of Christ and expresses his presence, power, will, mission, agenda into the world through the body of Christ. Since the day Jesus ascended, nobody has gotten saved worldwide without God using redeemed, born-again believers out there clothed with the power of God, doing the evangelization in the power of God, signs and wonders, the use of the word of God. Listen, healing, deliverances, and even signs and wonders, all of it comes through the active, obedient body of Christ. And many thousands of believers would be listening right now, and I would say to you that the reason for the suppression and silence of the church is more than just people neglecting their areas, liberal doctrines coming in, demonic. You know, there is a purposeful and plotted attack. You and I as believers understand Ephesians chapter 6. We understand that if you lift up the shield of faith, you can extinguish all the flaming arrows sent by the evil one. You get the picture? You as a believer can be targeted. Arrows, those involuntary feelings, involuntary thoughts, those that communication, operative, real, supernaturally sent communication coming in and at you to make you feel like God's not there, feel like you're no good. You know, all those lies, those are called arrows in Scripture. But it's the communication. It's the it's literally Satan hitting you up. There's a sender. So just as you, as a believer, realizes the kind of warfare that you're going through, that it's not flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, evil forces, wicked forces in the heavenly realms, that the evil ones will send to you directly. And you might be listening right now with some of those arrows lodged inside of you, on you, involuntary feelings and thoughts in your head, in your mind, in your heart, that are opposing the will of God, the word of God, the truth of God inside of you. May God right now reveal to you if that's been going on. Many believers are beat up that way and they don't know that it's arrows sent by the enemy, sometimes through the mouths of the lost or carnal backslidden believers. You could be hit up. The goal, suppress you. The goal, silence you. The goal, push your faith down your throat and shut you up. Now I'm going to give you some backdrop to this in a moment. The will of God is to be filled with Christ, on fire for God and doing the will of God. Now that is simply the way we've been designed. Mighty through God. Listen, you want to put on, listen, if you read Ephesians 6, the very first verse, entering into the armor of God, is about being empowered, used in the passive in the Greek, empowered by the mighty strength of God. Now let me tell you this, verse 10 means, Ephesians 6, the manifested, feelable, sensible, might or strength and power of God. Well, that's done by putting on the armor of God, which is all action. And that's how you stand so powerfully against the schemes of the enemy. That's how you take your stand. And in the day in which we have unprecedented ramping up of the dark side, in fulfillment to what God said would happen, and in a day in which this will double, triple, quadruple month by month as we enter into the last of the last days. Why in the world would any believer sit back and not want to know in detail the armor of God and having it on and living in the mighty power of God manifesting through your life? Or knowing the authority of Christ. So I'm urging you as we get into this first session, the last of the last days, battle on the church and in the church. Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've got you for 1 hour. Thank you for being here. I urge you to pull out your great and powerful prayers for me as a believer. I have no question that listening right now would be the other side. Listening to how we're doing things and what we're doing, they're always operative in secrecy. Sometimes they will email me to let me know. I've gotten emails again and again about how every single broadcast and every single thing we do is listened to, monitored. Every show when we were on with Doc last Monday, or on with Marzulli last week, or on with Stan coming up. Any of the shows, guess what? Monitored, listened to, all of that. It goes on and on and on. So that's okay. I'm glad you're on the field listening, because it is an open door for God to engage you absolutely engage you. And so I want you to know that we're glad that you listen. And I would ask all the believers who are great prayer warriors out there, I'm asking, if God speaks to your heart, I will ask you to, in the midst of your fierce and powerful great prayers, include me in the work that we do here. And if you feel really led to really put our name down and really cover us and intercede for us, write to me from time to time, let me know. Maybe God's going to speak to your heart and tell you to, you know, tell me how you have been praying for me. That's an important thing in the midst, because we are going to move to a broader joining, maybe kind of like a blog with you adding your prayers, because we've got to broaden this prayer issue. It's without question the body of Christ is failing, which I'm going to go to in a little bit here on the subject. And I think partly the reason why there's only, well, last week when I was in a local church, 2,000 people there. It was a good message, good worship. Everything else was really good, but the totality of prayer from beginning to end included about 18 seconds. You know, on Friday night when the rituals are being done, they're there for 2 or 3 hours, summoning the demons, doing the rituals, saying the stuff, calling on the powers, receiving the powers, putting the powers in, you know, the chosen ones, and then targeting the churches and sending stuff out against leaders and others and into the air. And as I've already said, millions of rituals, if you can simply just do the math. Satanic ritual abuse, thousands of rituals, millions of cases, millions of rituals, the summoning and the releasing, manifesting presence, dark presence. That's why it's feeling so dark. That's why that, I mean, listen. There are those out there that aren't even born of the Spirit of God that say they feel it in the air. Oh, I feel it in the air. I feel it in people. I feel it sometimes when I'm on the radio, when people are doing rituals and sending and working against. I also feel the mighty strength and power of God. I feel prayers sometimes when they're being done for me. I do. Because when the Spirit of God's involved, there's an awareness. And there is so many things as far as believers, word of knowledge, you know, word of wisdom, the Spirit of God giving you perception, energizing you, guiding you. As a believer in Christ, you have a spirit guide, God, the Holy Spirit. Quite different than the world around us right now. Listen, if you're listening tonight for the first time, my name is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website. You can go there and find out all kinds of stuff about who we are and what we do. Not the greatest website in the world, but we got a lot of content there to give out to you. I was mentioning the conference in St. Louis, and, you know, it was interesting because Saturday morning when I spoke, a group from a metaphysical society came in. I guess some acknowledged they were Wiccan. And in the context of doing a lecture session on dark technology, dark spirits, giving ideas for the development of technologies for the sake of globalism, Armageddon, all the rest. In that context, I contrasted dark powers and their reality with the powers and presence of God. If you're a believer in Christ, to be clothed with the power of God, and to learn to become, I'll say it again, a fierce, powerful prayer warrior. If you will do that, let alone a passionate, compassionate soul winner, wow. If we had even a million out of a claiming 150 million believers, if we had a million powerful, powerful, fierce prayer warriors that are compassionate, passionate soul winners, doing what Philip did in Acts chapter 8, or Barnabas, or what some of the early disciples we see in the book of Acts. I mean, listen, take your Christian life, your church, drag it into the book of Acts. Take a look and compare. I'm going to tell you again, God has willed. Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. His church, clothed with power, take up the cross, follow Christ, obedient to the word of God, absolutely passionate about soul winning, absolutely fierce about prayer, stepping out, never stopping, stepping out, ever increasing, impacting the world, the demonstration of real Christianity. Take a look at the end of chapter 7, beginning and all of chapter 8 in the book of Acts. That's real Christianity in action. And let me tell you something right now, you and I, in realizing the power, blessing, might of the living Christ, the clothing of the power of the Spirit of God and the purpose of that power, manifested power. And then, my dear friends, then the mission. If you go and get a great experience in the Holy Spirit but never step out to do the mission, you'll instantly grieve and put out the fire and become suppressed and silent again. You see, we receive all by faith, but manifest everything in active obedience. Active obedience. Can I say it again? Active obedience to Christ. You want to become stronger? You want to become more powerful? Acts 9:22. After Saul of Tarsus, engaged by Christ, saved, filled with the Spirit of God, he launches out in obedience and begins to witness, begins to do the mission of Christ. What does the Bible say then? Acts 9:22, that he grows more and more powerful. Every believer listening to my voice right now can grow more and more powerful. Here's the principle. By faith, we receive all the grace of God. That is enormous, outstanding, incredible. But as everything is housed within you, when you step out, and that's what we're supposed to do, I mean, we're supposed to take up the cross, supposed to be obedient to Jesus. Putting the word of God into practice proves our love for Christ. That's what he said. Demonstrates, James chapter 1, that blessing will result. 1 John chapter 2 tells us that we will become strong and overcome the evil one, because the word of God has now become operative, powerfully, supernaturally operative in your life, because you've believed it. Biblical belief means you put it into practice. So believing and obeying is inseparable. If you really believe that praying is a powerful thing, if you really believe that God answers prayer, if you really believe what Jesus said, ask, you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock, doors will be opened. If you really believe this, you will go after it. As a matter of fact, you'll not do much more than you really believe. If you're a believer in Christ, do you believe the living Christ dwells in you? Do you believe that you're meant to be clothed with the felt demonstrative power of the Spirit of God? Do you realize and believe that you're supposed to be filled up with the Word of God? Take a read, Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Blessing, strength, empowerment, growth, ability, even when you read in Timothy, where we read about all the Word of God being God-breathed. The Word of God will equip you to do every good work. It will bless you. It will strengthen you. It will give light to your eyes. It will give you discernment. How absolutely insane and nuts are we as Christians when we can't get into the Word of God? We've learned how to text and be addicted to emails, texting, and even information. But do we stand daily active in the presence of God as a prepared, trained, growing prayer warrior and say, here I am, God, use me. Here I am, God, I am prepared. Where is the prayer warrior that spent at least a half an hour in incessant Spirit of God guided, empowered, passionate, fierce prayer? Where is the burden demonstrated of God's heart for the lost? You ever see the church weeping for souls lately? You know anybody that's led somebody to Christ lately? Though it is the top priority of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Top priority. There is no other priority more important, no higher priority. All of heaven rejoices when one soul is won. Yet most believers, silenced and suppressed, have not and cannot lead a soul to Christ and can barely pray 4 or 5 minutes a day. Talk about anemic, weak, pathetic, Laodicean. Does God have anybody in his hand that he knows is faithful, obedient, anybody that he can steer and guide and direct supernaturally to the lost, to those needing healing, to those needing demons cast out, to the hungry that need to be fed? See, God uses active, obedient, growing believers, not stagnant, suppressed, silenced believers. It's almost a contradiction, isn't it? You know what? I've gotten so deep into this today. It's already 31 minutes in. And I have meant to give you other things. I can tell you halfway through I'm going to run out of time in this one providential hour that you and I have. I will say that what I feel in the Spirit of God right now is His providence at work. Some of you believers are going to be struck by the convincing, convicting passion of the Spirit of God. I already know that. I am filled with Holy Spirit joy and presence and power right now as I speak, knowing there are believers being lit up, tears rolling down your face, and you're saying, yes, Isaiah 6, who will I send? God says, here am I. Send me. I'll be your prayer warrior. I'll become fierce. I'll be faithful. I'll be the soul winner. I'll go out. I'll go to the highways and the byways. I'll do what it takes. I will fight for the body of Christ. Jesus said he would build his church. I will fight for the church of Jesus Christ. I won't let it be battled, suppressed, and silenced. You're going to sit back in a day when the unprecedented ramping up of the dark side is infiltrating the church in a number of ways. I mean, the church is meant to be, I mean, there's churches around, there's believers around that are absolutely indefeatable, immovable, powerful, and very, very vigilant in all that they do. But there are others, maybe some listening, constantly beat, not knowing what to do, and confused. Now, that's a contradiction. Christ alive in you, the Spirit of God, no greater power, no greater energy, power, and force within you and on you. The mission of God is very clear. This is where you start. And the two places, I would say it all begins with total surrender and yieldedness to Jesus as the living Savior, building his church, sending his church, commanding, commissioning it. Go to the highways and the byways, compel them to come in. Remember, Jesus, can you not pray with me 1 hour? It's about a battle. If you're sitting back saying, well, the church is this, the church is problem, this is it. You know what? We're all in agreement about where we see infiltration. But see, if you see it, you are required to do something about it. If you see it and just become a Chicken Little screaming, the church is falling, the church is falling, the church is falling, what good is that? You can have an hour conversation on the phone about the weakness and the problems with the church, but you can't spend 5 minutes in fierce, powerful prayer and doing all that a real and powerful believer can do to help make the body of Christ collectively, locally, powerful in the hands of God. So in this first session for this week, in the topic title this week, the last of the last days and battle on and in the church. Let me give you a few things. First of all, let me tell you about a simple little Greek word. Gregorou, being vigilant. The opposite of passivity, the opposite of sleepiness. It's a word that means to be vibrant, active, watching. It's actually a word used with the idea of looking for impending danger. To be so awake, so aware, so at the cutting edge spiritually that you are able in the context of living for Christ, being fierce in prayer, being a witness, doing and living your life. You have this cutting edge experiential practice. I'm going to tell you that this word applies to every single believer, everyone that's a believer in Christ. Every believer listening to these words right now, when you look at the Word of God, I don't care if you don't listen to me, but you got to listen to the Word of God. If you are a believer in any sense of the term, obeying the Holy Spirit to repent and believe on Christ, that's where it all begins. You know what it is? It's renouncing the world, the flesh, the devil. Repentance is turning around from what you used to obey and used to do and used to be in. And instead now embracing the living Christ, grace, mercy, the blood of Christ, the Word of God, the mission of God, the Holy Spirit, and helping to win a world. It's not over, folks. I don't care how dark, I don't care how much darkness floods out of the gory pits of hell. Standing by and talking about it does nothing. And Jesus never said, stand by and talk about it. Scream, if you will, Russ. But I know that I am to do something. Part of what I do right here is part of that something. Am I going to be out in the field? Yes. Am I going to be out there seeking souls? Yes. Am I going to be out there seeking to be fierce in prayer against governmental policies and individuals that are in direct opposition to God? Yes. Praying for protection and guidance in the military system that's targeted? Yes. Am I going to be fierce in prayer for the body of Christ? Jesus Christ gave his blood to build a body. He's head of the church. You see what? I don't care what anybody else says. I'm here to be obedient to the living Christ. He has the wisdom, he has the knowledge, he has the love, he has the passion, he has the right, he holds the authority. Jesus, what do you say about the body of Christ? Now look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. The seven churches in the book of Revelation will tell you a lot, won't it? There are things that he said that some of them were doing that was good. In every case, Jesus says, in each one of the messages to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, maybe go read those again. Anyone who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What is God, the Holy Spirit, saying to the ecclesia, the churches? You know the word church, ecclesia? It's used about 97 times in the Bible, about 95, 97 times in the New Testament. Do you know that about 93, 92 of those times is in reference to the local visible body? The Church of Galatia, the Church of Sardis, the Church of Laodicea. It's in reference to local bodies that are gathered. Listen, it can't be a local church unless it's gathered for the worship, prayer, word, witness, involving such things as communion and baptism. The body of Christ has a structure given by God. It's pretty simple, actually. We have made it an institutional mess at times. We have exchanged the simplicity, power, and magnificent grace bearer of the church into cathedrals. And see, I don't even care about the buildings. See, I've learned I can be in a basement, in a garage, out in a field, under a tent, in a building, in a big building, in a gymnasium. None of the places has anything to do with the actual living presence of Christ. When two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. Anybody higher? Anybody bigger? I mean, when we read the words that the living Christ will be in the midst of a couple of believers that gather together. Now, don't think that two or three people could just all of a sudden say, we are a local church. Now, it might be that God calls you to be a local church that is going to be visible in the sense of visible ministry. But a local church is going to have corporate worship, whether it's three people or 3,000. It's going to have massive prayer, massive commitment to the Word of God, commitment to the Great Commission. Are you soul winning? Are you discipling? Are you baptizing? Are you taking of the Lord's table? Are you winning souls, healing the sick, casting out the demonic, and feeding and clothing those who are in need? Are you gathered together in Christ in that sense? So if you are a... See, it's one thing to have a Bible study, one thing to have a prayer meeting. Great! But a church, an ecclesia, a body, a visible locality of believers, whether it's in a basement, a house, a barn, an old school building, a storefront, don't make any difference. As long as you are gathering together in the mission. See, Jesus, he alone has the right to snuff out the light of a local church if it becomes what the church is not. If a local church once was alive but becomes dead by not doing what Jesus said to do. See, the Church of Sardis, great church at one time, was very alive spiritually, active, massive, fruitful. But it became dead and was about to totally die. Jesus invades the weak, anemic, dead church of his. And he has the right to tell them that they are to repent, to obey, to remember the things they've received, to turn around and do them. Or he'll take them out. He'll remove them from being a local church. You see, when many immature believers have given up on local churches because they've made judgments and attitudes, and usually it's about style and little things. It's one thing, like John Wesley in history, would, by God's direct leading, move him to take the mission of God when the state church was corrupt. And it is true that the church, as a institution, if it's taken over by politics, syncretism from other religions is brought in, and a veneer of Christian reality is there, you have a mixture in the Catholic Church of political power, syncretism, and the veneers of what Christianity is supposed to be, partially. And so you have something that presents it to the self, to the world, as something vastly different than what you see in the book of Acts. You can look at the Episcopal Church, where a man being gay, active gay, claims that he's Bishop Robinson and he's leading. It's all a farce. It's all a farce. They can put 100 name tags on themselves, declare themselves whatever they want, but it has nothing to do with whom Jesus verifies. That can be found out as we look at the book of Acts, as we look at the instructions of Timothy and Titus, those two books given by God the Holy Spirit. And then as we look at the seven churches, we can see a lot. We can see a lot. But I'm going to tell you right now, instead of just simply being a church basher, which Satan can subtly move angry believers who are not dealing with issues in their own lives into, well, he could deliver them. Remember how Peter was used? Do you remember how Peter was used? When Satan had just moved on him, he hardly knew anything. Jesus was going in one direction. Peter wanted to stop him and move him to another direction. And Jesus turned around and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because Satan had piggybacked and sent involuntary thought and feeling through Peter, and Jesus was totally aware. You know, you and I sometimes may not be aware of what the enemy's doing. There's not a hair, a shred, a moment of any activity of the enemy, of any demon anywhere in the world that God is not absolutely aware. Remember omniscience. Remember omnipresence. Remember omnipotence. Remember, God is God and Satan is not. But there is real dark power, unprecedented, more coming than ever in history, operative in the world. Massive deception. You see, when I see the radical evil, and I just put up session 5 in Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, the series we're doing, in this series that I just put up, you see, it. When I deal with satanic crime and deal with victims and see the stuff, and when I was at St. Louis and saw the slides of the African witch hunts and of individuals putting on Christian garb but using witchcraft methods in doing deliverances, which includes basically putting it, perceived demonized children underwater, burning them, harming them, or even killing them, ousting them. I mean, what we have there is the same thing. Not real Christianity. None of that looks like the book of Acts. None of that looks like what Jesus did. The deliverance procedures, none of it is like what Jesus does. When you bring in and bring a syncretism, a adding of occult practices into ministry, you have a massive contradiction. And the results are clearly ugly, seem hypocritical, and it must be declared, this is not of God. There are things that are being done that the reason the Word of God is speaking into lives like your and mine, to clean us, to grow us, to make us more Christ-like. The same is true of the body of Christ at large. As the Word of God purifies the body of Christ and leads the body of Christ as a local church and in the city churches, as they come under the authority and lordship of Jesus and yield to do what Jesus says more and more and more and more, they'll be more and more in common. There'll be more automatic Spirit of God biblical unity than anyone could have hoped for. Because same Christ, same Word of God, same mission, standing up in obedience brings the great manifestation of God's presence, power in and through us. Did you realize there's a war? a great battle that you can't fight just in the arena of talk. Once we talk about it, scream about it, preach about it, then it has to move into action. This, and even what I listen to, and even what I read and I listen to grow, I read and I listen to learn more, I read and I listen to equip myself better, to do, to become, in the hands of God, a fierce prayer warrior, to become, in the hands of God, a passionate, compassionate soul winner that's fruitful. In the last of the last days, a great, great evidence of this war against the church will show itself. In the early days, Jesus was with the disciples, and they were eating together. None of the disciples knew, but Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all, to beat you guys to smithereens." They had no clue. Jesus did. In Acts chapter 5, even when the church was strong and powerful and God's hand was on it all over the place, thousands are getting truly saved, filled with the Spirit of God, miracles are done, demons are cast out. In the context of a mighty church, the audacity of the demonic of Satan is to look for some doorway to infiltrate his way in to begin a level of corruption. Acts chapter 5, Ananias, Sapphira, they agreed together. Now, the word literally in the Greek means they agreed to test and approve the durability of the church and to see if they could pull the wool over the eyes. They agreed to lie. They agreed in the context to do something as if they were challenging. And see, the evil within them was the doorway for Satan to walk in. Now, the difference of the attempted direct satanic entrance into the young body, even though it was powerful. Don't think Satan gets a hold of weak churches. Listen, weak, anemic, fruitless churches he could care less about. Where he wants to go is where real revival and churches that are powerful and doing great things, that's where he wants to go. So he'll become in that mode of operation, that methodology. Remember, Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are not unaware of his schemes that he might outwit us. Did you know that's a good thing? Did you know it's a good thing to really know the methodology, the schemes, the way the enemy works so that when it occurs, you can say, aha, there it is, and respond and resist the devil that he would flee from you. Take your stand with the armor of God. Use the authority of Christ. Peter, filled with the Spirit of God now, stands by Holy Spirit discernment, knows what is going on, and speaks out. Of course, Ananias and Sapphira, both in the story, die immediately. Satan, of course, has to pop out of their bodies with the agenda to pull the wool over the eyes of the church, to damage the church, to corrupt the church. It was stopped at the door. Would to God, all over America, Holy Spirit-filled believers, knowing what gregoru means, the Greek word gregoru, the Greek word vigilant, the Greek word used in Colossians 4:2, when the Spirit of God says to every believer, devote yourself to prayer. In other words, become a consistent, fierce prayer warrior in the hand of God. And in the context of that, watch, being watchful. The Greek word watchful, gregoru, it literally just means the opposite of being silenced and suppressed and passive and quiet and sleepy. It means to be vigilant, passionate, cutting edge alertness spiritually, looking for impending danger. Now, the danger does not come from God. The danger comes from the enemy. When Jesus was with the disciples, none of them were trained and living experientially Gregoroo, watching for the impending danger of enemy encroachment. Now you listening and I stand as we look at, and I beg you, in the sight of God, memorize Colossians 4:2. Take it into your heart and life. And if you take it in and believe what it says, it means you will. See, you don't believe it till you put it into practice. If you really believe it, you'll put it into practice. That's the picture that we have in James chapter 1. If you hear the word of God and don't do anything about it, you deceive yourself. Nothing good comes to you. Nothing. You don't even remember it. But if you put it into practice, you're blessed. You're blessed. You're empowered. You're strengthened. You're manifesting God's will. And God can flow and manifest through your activity now. So if you're down praying for 45 minutes fiercely, interceding for the city, lost people, praying for the church, praying for the pastor, if you are standing, listen, why can't you show up at church a half hour early and just say, Pastor, I'm going down there by the altar and I'm going to start praying for a half hour before the church starts. I'm going to get right down there off to the side, to the left side, the right side. Then another person join you and another person join you and another person join you. Finally, half the church is showing up a half hour in advance, interceding and praying for all. Listen, God's power to be released, salvation to occur, God's grace and power on church leaders and others, praying for one another, praying for the Spirit of God to move, praying for gifts to be used, praying against satanic encroachment. Satan is after the infiltrating the church, friends. He's after bringing corruption. He's after, look at Galatians chapter 1, the infiltration. Look what Paul says later to the Ephesian elders about how some will come into the church, false, to gather, to seduce, and to take out disciples that would follow them. That's how about every single cult has started. The divisive. And so the Ephesian elders are to be overseers, spiritual leaders, pastors, overseers. What in heaven's sight are we doing? Are you watching for the impending danger of the enemy's operative assault on believers and attempted infiltration of the church? Look at the seven churches again. False prophets, the Nicolaitans, the occult woman, teaching people right in the church, occult practices and perverted sexual activity, occult sexual activity. And Jesus is like all over it, like, you tolerate this. Listen to me now. Listen, I'm going to listen. Never tolerate demonic manifested practice, speaking, guidance, directives, anything like that in the body of Christ. Don't you take it in the slightest, not through the emergent church junk, not through liberal junk. You see, Satan would love to get in false doctrine. He'd love to get in all kinds of things. And it's all about, you know what the evidence is when Satan is winning? A local church with Christians who evidence being suppressed and silent and sleepy. Sardis, once alive, became dead. Listen, I've got a number of things to tell you more. I'll give you more on the infiltration of the church, spiritual warfare, the coming piggybacking of the work of the enemy, false doctrine, direct infiltration. And yet, we're supposed to be extremely active in what we do to stop it. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I'm going to tell you right now that this series, I think, will be vital. Make CDs, give it off to people. And pray that in your life right now, you know what God wants you to do. Hope to see you tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Hey, God bless you. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.